you're here.
Amen. This evening I would like to take for our text Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, and then paragraphs 100 of the spoken word is the original seed. From Galatians 2 and verse 19, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And paragraph 100 from the spoken word's original seed. Christ means the anointed one, a man that was anointed, and God dwelling in him. What was it? The germ with the flesh, the anointed one. Flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God produced the Word of God made manifest. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. See, there he was, see. He was God's Word made manifest, and now he died in order to pay the debt of your high breeding. Of my. There it is. What is it? That you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself and be filled with his word, believing his word. And then the Holy Spirit that was in him comes down to water that word to make it grow. See? And then what is it? God manifesting, continuing the work of his first son, his only begotten. See? Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you for these wonderful words. Knowing, as your prophet is saying, that we must die to ourselves, that the life that was in Jesus Christ that came back might live in us. In other words, we're seeing that he died that we might live. And now it's we must die that he might live. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to die to self. And may the very life that was in your Son, through your Spirit, anoint the word that has been placed into our hearts, and bring forth sons of God in the image of your firstborn Son. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now you know Brother Bram said from his sermon, True Easter Seal, he said he sealed his first son with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? True. And he sealed all of his other sons with the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying there is basically Romans 8, verse 30, where Paul said that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, who is the firstborn in a large family of brothers. So in getting back to spoken word's original seed, Brother Bram said, Christ means the anointed one, a man that was anointed, and God dwelling in him. What was it? The germ with the flesh, the anointed one. Flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God produced the Word of God made manifest. Let me read this again, because that he's talking about the Alpha and also about the Omega. He says, a man that was anointed and God dwelling in him, what was it? The germ with the germ what? In other words, the word seed germ. With the flesh, the anointed one, flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God, produced and produces the Word of God made manifest. So if the same Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body, your body that's able to die, that's this body we have now, what's it going to do? These signs. Not only these signs shall follow them that believe, but the works that I do shall he do also. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. See, there he was. See, he was God's word made manifest. And now he died in order to pay the debt of your high breeding. My, there it is again. What is it? That you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself and be filled with his word, believing his word, and then the Holy Spirit that was in him comes down to water that word to make it grow. See? And then what is it? God manifesting, continuing the work of his first son, his only begotten son, see? That died for our high breeding life, that he might reconcile us back to be sons and daughters of God, that through the church might flow the same life of the word, continuing the word, being manifested as it was in Christ. Christ was God's Word made manifest, and he died, gave his life, that he might send the Spirit, take his body up and send the Spirit back to water, pay the redeeming price if we'll believe it. That is right there, if you believe it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, then come the Holy Spirit upon the same Word of God. In other words, look, if you have this Bible, living in here. The same Spirit that anointed it in Jesus Christ to manifest this Word living in His flesh will do the same in you. That's what Brother Branham is saying. Now, in two other places from this same sermon, the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham said, from paragraph 81, he said, "Did not Jesus say, 'Whosoever looks upon a woman has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already.' Why? He let it come into his mind. That's the womb. It starts the thing moving. Satan come in. We were sowed with the word. Someday I'll bring the life into the earth and replenish the earth. What Eve failed to do, Mary did. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Mary took God's word, and through Mary's seed replenishes the earth again through his bride, through the word, and will bring up the millennium. Through that goes forth the word. And the word is planted into every predestinated heart, and the Spirit comes down and waters it, and they cannot die. I'll raise them up again in the last days. Oh, brother, sister, that's real." And again from paragraph 175, he says, "Now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ." You see, John 5:19. "So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life," he shows her, "and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again." Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. And whenever Brother Branham says anything about a secret, you better listen. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. So not only do you have the word, the literal figurative word, but you also have the mind that understands that word and what to do with that word. You understand what he's saying? All right. He says, here is the secret. The word is in the bride, in the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, "Thus saith the Lord," then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, "Thus saith the Lord," or they just keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. So then he's doing it through another son or sons. From Questions and Answers, COD, Brother Bram said, "And then God became material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was his son. This son gave his life that he might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, working in all. In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Oh, brother, that'll be a real day." Well, when is that day? This is the hour. From John 14:10, he said, "Believest thou that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it receiveth him not," or seeth him not, "neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." In other words, the same Spirit that's in me, dwelling with you, among you, is the same one that's going to be in you. "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans." That word comfortless is a Greek word, it means orphans. "I will come to you." When is the time that you're no longer an orphan? It's when you're adopted. Hallelujah. "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So if you don't hear Jesus, you're not hearing the Father, because the words that Jesus gave us is the words that his Father gave to him. From Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Brown said, we see the bride uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. And as the Word, as the bride being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding, see? They're getting ready for a wedding, and they become one. The Word becomes you. You become the Word. Jesus said, at that day you shall know that all the Father is, I am, and all I am, you are, and all you are, I am. In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, the Father in me, I in you, you in me. See? At that day. What day? This day. We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that. So Brother Branham is letting us know that in John 17, when he says, in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, you in me, he said, this is the hour. Now, I used to have a lot of trouble with that, you know, because I'm thinking of a physical being. I'm thinking of, well, in that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, okay, here's this physical being in this physical being, and then the Father, this physical being inside of this physical being, and I couldn't make it out, because God isn't a physical being. He's the Word. And his word, he is the word. And he, the word, was in his son. Amen? And his son was in him, the word. How do you say? Because God spoke of him. He ordained him. He predestinated him. He's in the word. You see it? Well, what about you and I? In that day, you'll understand that there's a word that speaks of a bride. And the word that speaks of a bride is God speaking of that bride. And that word of God that speaks of a bride of God will be in that bride. And that bride will be in his word. You see how simple that is. In that day you'll understand that the Father's in me, I in you, and you in me. We're all one because we have the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment. I just love this. In John 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me. Now, we know this word glorify comes from the root word doxa, which is the opinion, the value, and judgment of God. And Jesus is saying here, and now, Father, manifest your opinion, your values, and your judgment in and through me. With thine own self, who is thine own self? God. Who is God? The Word. Manifest your opinion, your value, your judgment through me with your own Word, with your own Spirit, with your own opinion, your values, your judgment in me and through me, with thine own self, with the glory, with the doxa, which the opinion, value, and judgment which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gave them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given to me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy words which thou gave to me. So the very word which God gave to his son, he passed on to us. Amen. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Not by them, in them. My word, I am glorified. What's the word glorified in doxazo? What does it mean? In other words, in their flesh, my values, my opinion, my judgments, which I receive from you, are expressing itself in them. Therefore, I am glorified in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hates them because of it, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Therefore sanctify them through thy word, thy truth. See, that word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. God, who is the Word, Jesus, who is the expression of that Word. And now we become the expression of that Word. So we have the Word, God, the Father, the life, the Spirit, living in us, using this flesh, anointing this flesh, anointing the gene seed in us to, and this flesh, to the Word for the day which we live. What's the Word for the day which we live? There's going to be a bride. It's going to have the mind of God. It's going to overcome the body of this death. It's going to overcome. There is a little discipline that's involved with being a Christian. Just look at the life of William Branham. Very disciplined. We find Billy Paul mentioning how, or Brother Branham actually mentioning, I think I mentioned it Sunday, when Brother Branham was in Africa, he said, I wouldn't ride with the others, or I wouldn't, you know, sit up there and talk with them because, you know, I had to isolate myself. I had to stay in that anointing, under that anointing. Be very easy to, you know, for people to, just interrupt that anointing. Very easy. So he disciplined himself because Brother Branham was a chatter. He loved to get together. His nature, he was born under a two. Brother Vail said, you know, a two's make a great Walmart greeter. Loved to meet people. Brother Branham, there wasn't a stranger to him. Not because of the gift, but because of his nature. He said, what made my ministry great is my love for people. I just love people. So it had to be very difficult for him to go against his nature to stay isolated so that anointing stayed upon him. You understand what I'm saying? Just like we should come to church, we should spend plenty of time, get here plenty of time early. We should spend at least 20 minutes to 30 minutes, Brother Branham said, making sure that anointing is upon us to hear that word. You see? Because he said, you're guaranteed to hear from heaven if you come prayed up. All right? So he says, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, remember, the word which thou gave me will be in them. God is the word. Right? And Jesus said, and I in them. The expressed word. Therefore, the Word of God, not just in here, but in here, and in here, living itself out in us. From questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, now God is in us. Jesus said, John 14, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. God in us. What was the purpose? To carry out his plan. God had a plan. He wanted to work among men, and he brought it in the pillar of fire, which was a mystic fire that hung over the children of Israel. Then that same fire was made manifest in a body of Jesus. And he said he was that fire. Before Abraham was, I am. He was that fire. He said, I come from God and go back to God. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul met him on the road, when his name was still Saul, on the road to Damascus. And he was again turned back to the pillar of fire. A light put his eyes out. That's right. And here he is today. The same pillar of fire, same God doing the same signs, the same works. Why? He's working among his people. He's in us. He is with you now. But I will be in you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world, the consummation of the world. He'd be with us. I like that. The very God life that was in his Son is in you and I. Maybe the measure's not all there. It doesn't matter. Paul said if you have all faith, You can move mountains, but Jesus said all you need is the faith of a mustard seed to move mountains. So what does it matter if you got all faith or just a little faith? What does it matter if you got one sperm of God in you or you got 200 or 2,000? It only takes one to quicken, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. From God perfecting His church, Brother Branham said, now notice here, just a little farther as he went on, God making Himself known through the fatherhood, through sonship, through the Holy Spirit. Now see, He brought into Himself a blood cell, wrapped Himself up in this, broke forth the blood at Calvary, throwed out His blood that He might bring through this blood cleansing by the same atonement, take every sinner and cleanse him, bring him into fellowship that he can talk with man and walk with man like he did in the Garden of Eden before sin ever come on the earth. And our relationship is restored to Jehovah through the offering of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ's body was only revealed in that blood cell and through the offering of blood, which is life, that He might destroy the life of sin and bring in the life of righteousness through His Son, Christ Jesus, putting a part of His life in ours, and we are together. Didn't Jesus say, in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me? There you are. Then the church of the living God is anointed, is the anointed body of the Lord Jesus. Can I say that again? Then the church of the living God is the anointed body of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking on earth here, giving every hope and everything to the outside world that nothing else can give, eternal life. They see no other form of eternal life but in you. Hallelujah. And now we'll read from paragraph 101 of the Spoken Word's original seed. Brother Branham said, now you say, where'd He throw it up? Where'd He throw it upon the Bible then? The Bible's got to be in you. Why do you think it's so important to teach your children the Scripture? So that word comes naturally to you. Remember the story about the little girl? She was coming home from school and the priest came up to her and said, we'll just call her name Mindy or whatever. He said, Mindy, said, why aren't you in our church? She goes, because I don't go to your church. I go with my father. Well, you should be in our church. And she said, but the Bible says to honor your father and mother. And he said, well, he said, I'm the priest. And he said, you're supposed to be coming to my church. And she said, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. It says that I should honor my father and my mother. And he said, well, you're just a child. You don't know the Scriptures. And she said, well, Paul said to Timothy that from a child thou knewest the Scriptures. And he said, well, you see, Timothy was taught to be a priest, you know, and he was taught by the priest to be a priest. And she goes, no. The Bible says that his grandmother taught him and his mother. And, of course, he got pretty tired after this and he threw up his hands. He said, she has more Word of God in her to, or he said, she has more Bible in her to poison, enough Bible in her to poison a whole parish. You see? They can't befuddle you because you know the Scripture. It's important to teach your children the Scripture so that when they see things that are contrary to Scripture, the light goes on. They can talk to you and say, hey, Dad, you know, that's that thing over there, you know, that's not Scripture, is it? No, it's not, son. So again, he says, the Bible's got to be in you. The Word is a seed, and as long as it's laying here, out here, it won't do nothing. But when it comes in here, when it comes in the heart, then it begins to manifest by the Holy Spirit the works of God. Then visions come, power comes, humility comes. All of your know-it-all is gone. Hear that? All of your know-it-all is gone. You become nothing. Christ becomes alive. You die. He lives. There it is. Because He died, I live. When I die, He lives again. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He died so that you might have life. Now it's your chance to pay back. That you might die to self, that He can live again in your vessel. Because He died, I live. When I die, He lives again. And when I die, He promised me life. And I died out to myself, so in order, I can have His life. And how do I do it? by taking his word, his seed, put his seed in here by faith and believe it, and then it produces exactly what the Bible said. In closing, Paul says in Colossians 1:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall manifest in his true character, then shall you appear, then shall you manifest in your true character with him in glory, with him in doxa, with him in his opinion, his values, and his judgment. What am I doing with those things? I'm manifesting those things. When Christ, who is my life, appears, manifests in this hour, I shall also manifest with him in the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And what does mortify mean? Well, it means to deaden or kill off, to make dead. And what is it that we're to make dead in ourselves? He says fornication, uncleanness, which is physical or moral impurity, inordinate affection, that means lust, evil concupiscence, that means lusting for that which is forbidden, and covetousness, that means greediness to the place of using fraud to get it. And he says, and that is nothing less than idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, for those very things, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off these. Well, what does put off mean? It means to put away, literally or figuratively. It means to cast off, lay aside, lay down, put away, or put off. Number one, he says anger. Put off anger. How do I put off anger? Die to yourself. That's how. Is that thing so important to me that I have to be angry about it? Is that thing going to have any influence on my salvation that I have to get angry about it? If not, shut up. Put off wrath. How do I put off wrath? Die to yourself. What is wrath? It's expressing that anger in a hostile way. He says, put these things off. Anger, put it away. Wrath, put it away. Malice. How do I put off malice? Die to yourself. That's how. Is there anything so important to you that you will become angry, wrathful, and full of malice, and thus affect a change of the body for you? You think the Holy Spirit is going to live in a vessel that's full of wrath and anger and malice? You see, you're too affected. You're too into whatever it is that makes you angry. It means too much to you. Let it go. What makes you full of wrath and malice? Let it go. Is it that important to keep you from entering into the kingdom? And blasphemy. How do I put off blasphemy? Die to self. Shut your mouth. Does your opinion really have to be expressed? Is it that important that your opinion has to be expressed? Just shut up. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He said, every idle word that you speak, you'll have to give an answer for it. Every idle word. What's an idle word? You know, chit-chat. Every idle word. You'll have to give an account. And number five, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put away all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. How do I put off filthy communication out of my mouth? Die to yourself. The Bible says you're not even supposed to speak of those things which are done in darkness. Then what about filthy communication? If Christ wouldn't say it, don't you dare. In fact, don't even think it to begin with. And as Martin Luther said, the devil will put those thoughts in your mouth, in your heart. He said, like a bird flying into a tree, just don't let him make a nest. Recognize those are not God's thoughts, therefore they're not my thoughts. Oh, I have times when I have those thoughts and I say, God, forgive me, but those aren't my thoughts, so I reject them. I don't take credit for those thoughts. Those are the devil's thoughts, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. Then once you have died to self, he says, verse 9, then lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, when you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ, then once you have died out to all those lusts of your flesh that would cause you to be angry or wrathful or malice in your heart, or cause you to blaspheme, or that which would cause you to talk dirty or allow filthy communication to proceed from your mouth, when you have truly died out to self, then he says, don't lie, seeing that you put off or cast away your old self and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, in the knowledge of the Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God. And when you come to this state of mind and soul, then you'll have arrived to the place in verse 11 where there is neither Greek nor Jew. In other words, there's no prejudice, not black or white, Jew or Gentile, circumcision or non-circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But when you come to this state, you will have come to the place that Christ is all and in all. Then when you come to this place, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness. Oh, kindness. When's the last time we've seen a dose of kindness? How about humbleness of mind? Recognizing He is the sovereign God. And we're nothing. Just vapor, as Solomon said. Meekness and long-suffering. Long-suffering, that means to suffer long. Not for yourself. He's talking about suffering long for others. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. What's that? Put on giving, which is the bond of perfectness, or the completion of your maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What does it mean to let the peace of God rule? It means let the peace of God govern your heart. May the peace of God have top priority. May it be that which governs how you act and react to others and to situations out of your control. To the which also you are called into one body. And the also, then also be of such a character that you are always thankful, he says. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, that means abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now to show that you have died to self, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit, as it is proper in the Lord. Too many wives backtalk their husbands. That is not proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Too many husbands give it back when they get it. I'm just as guilty. Children, obey your parents in all things. All, A-double-L, all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, in other words, if you have someone you report to on the job, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Who are you working for? You're working for Jesus. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, from your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons, so it does not matter who you are, you will reap what you sow. So it behooves us tonight to think on these things, to allow Christ to come in, and he can't come in unless you're dead. And since he died for you that you could live, how about if we die for him? Die to self, that he might come in and live in your vessel for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe that you have come down in this hour in your fullness. And we ask, Father, that even a portion of that fullness would come alive in us, and we alive to your word. That in this day, that you would be in us, and your Son, the Spirit which was in him that was let loose on Calvary from that vessel, would come back to us in this hour. And that as Jesus said, in that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me. I in you, and you in me. May this scripture be fulfilled in our very midst. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
God bless you all.